I was sitting the other day at the Cruzy House of Prayer in the Happy Hearts room, staring at the pattern on the floor. Decorative pattern on a concrete floor. So I'm staring at this and sitting comfortably, relaxing. The winds start blowing. You can hear the wind beating against the house. Outside, things are shaking, and it's generally, you start to look around a little bit and what's going on with this. But you know, because of that concrete floor, solid foundation, that house, there's no fear that the wind's going to blow it down, or that the house is going to fail, or anything terrible is going to happen. The winds are going to blow. The house is going to shake a little bit, maybe, but the foundation is solid. And Nancy was talking about around the world, we hear worries about, oh, things are happening, things are terrible, but yet there's other places where the church is growing and where God is speaking and working, building that foundation. As people begin to realize when their houses are built on sand, and their foundations are falling away, they're turning to the Lord, they're turning to God for that saving grace that He gives them, and that firm foundation that we can stand on with no fear, no shaking, no concern, because we know that He is the solid rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. Every high and stormy gale, I remove it in the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Oh, when He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then be found, as in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Just read familiar scriptures. Galatians 5:22. In fact, if somebody, does anybody have a good old-fashioned King James Bible with them? Can you read that like in a loud voice? Galatians 5. And if you would read Galatians 5:22 to 25. And then Rodney, if you would read Ephesians 5:9-10. Ephesians 5:9-10, and Galatians 5:22-25.
Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Ephesians 5:9-10 is a critical. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord.
Amen. Amen. I was at a conference last year, and I was asked to share on Occupy Till I Come. And I think that we're familiar with the parable of the talents, where the king, he gave certain talents to the different servants, and the reward was not for how much they had. The reward was for being faithful with what they had. And for the one whose talent multiplied till 10, they received the same reward as the one whose talent multiplied to 5. It was only the one who only had one talent who hid it. You know what I'm saying? I was afraid. I didn't want to make any mistakes, so I hid it. That the king was actually displeased with that one who didn't invest what had been given to him and took that talent from him and invested in another. But the reward was not more for the one who had 10 talents than 5 talents. The reward was for faithfulness. And I think that we understand that. So when we were, you know, when the theme that we were supposed to be sharing on was Occupy Till I Come, I felt like what they were really asking was, how are you spending your time? And what do you feel is important to the Lord? You know, where is God calling you to be faithful? And so some scriptures regarding the receptivity of our spirit immediately came to mind, because I feel that's very, very important as far as the way we spend our time. If we're going to have a spiritual walk with the Lord, there's going to be a fruitfulness within our lives. There needs to be that receptivity of spirit. There needs to be a hearing ear. We need to learn how to obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit. So as I considered Occupy Till I Come, what are we doing to occupy our time? Scriptures like Isaiah 50, verse 4, where it says, "He awakeneth my ear morning by morning," immediately came to mind. 1 Corinthians 2:14, where it talks about spiritual things being spiritually discerned. Verse 44, where Paul is saying, "We have received the Spirit, which is from God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." In other words, I've taken the time, morning by morning, to get myself quiet, to get in the Lord's presence. I'm cultivating that receptivity of spirit, that hearing ear, so that I can discern spiritual things, so I can understand spiritual things. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So for me to have fellowship with God, one thing God doesn't do is change. He doesn't change, so I have to. If I'm going to come into communion and fellowship with him, and fellowship with him on the plane that he is desiring fellowship. Psalms 40, verse 6, and I like this in the Amplified, where the writer says, "You've given us the capacity to hear and to obey you." But we have that capacity, but we have to develop it. There's choices that we have to make. 1 Corinthians 15:44, we have a natural body. We have a spiritual body. My dad used to say, "What you feed grows." And it's true. So as we're partaking of spiritual things, we'll grow spiritually. 1 Corinthians 15:31 says, "I die how often?
Daily.
Daily, as I'm making choices, as I'm choosing spiritual things." as I'm desiring the Lord. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That's what I'm going to seek after. A lot of things knocking on my door today, but Lord, I'm longing for you. And our devotional life is not just our prayer closet. Whether you call it practicing his presence or praying without ceasing, whatever terminology you want to use, there's an ongoing fellowship that we can have with the Lord throughout the day as we're facing different circumstances and different situations. As I'm learning to respond as he would have me respond, I die daily. Someone just caught in front of me at the gas pump. I die daily. It is no longer I, thank God, but it's Christ now living inside of me. And these things happen in life where we can exercise our ability to choose, that we might grow where it comes to the point where it's not just our choice to respond a certain way, but it becomes our very nature.
Yes.
Through that process, there's an ongoing change. I choose, I choose, I choose. Oh, I didn't even choose because now this is who I am. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. He's dwelling inside of me. Song of Solomon said, who is this that comes up from the wilderness leaning on her beloved? Who is this? Anyhow, not the same person I used to be, but he brought me to his banqueting table, and his banner over me was love. And something has changed inside of me, and the things that I used to be distracted by no longer distract me, because there's something I want so much more now. Sandy was singing, the lover of my soul. he's the one who my heart is set on. So there's choices that we need to make as we learn to abide in him day by day. I like to say hour by hour, sometimes minute by minute. There's choices, but as I'm choosing rightly, the fruit of the Spirit is being formed inside of me. And Christ is being seen in me more and more. Less of me, more of Jesus. Christ in you, Colossians 1:27. One of my favorite verses. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that sensitivity of my spirit is something that I have to make the decision. It's my choice. He's there. He's knocking on the door. You see that in Revelations 3:20, the Seventh Day Church, you use that verse for salvation, and you can use it that way. But it's actually at the church where he's outside knocking on the door, saying, if any man will hear, I will come in, and I will sup with him, and he with me. There's that in the heart of God that is longing for that fellowship, knocking on the door for those who would have an ear to hear. So as I think about occupy till I come and the fruit of the Spirit and Christ in me, a sensitivity of spirit, where I'm learning to respond to the Holy Spirit, hear the nudges and the knocking of the Lord. There's a question that I have also heard in my spirit time and time again, especially these last few years. And it's a question Bob Jones, I believe he actually titled one of his books that. I haven't read the book, but I tell you, I have the cover embedded in my heart. But did you learn to love? But did you learn to love? And I'll say it this way. There's been seasons in my life, times where worship was primary. I could spend hours with my auto harp just worshiping the Lord and the presence of God, and scriptures would open. And it was like a season that I thought would be my whole life. But then there was a season where it was study, study, get your concordance, get your, you know, get your book, study. Still God's word, but it was different than I'll just play my harp and read my favorite scriptures and commune and fellowship with the Lord. Study. And then there came a season in my life where I wasn't even playing my harp so much, and it wasn't even study so much, but where experientially I was appropriating his word. I was practicing his, that became the primary thing in my life. I'd say, but I just want to play my harp. But did you learn to love? And, you know, okay, all right, Lord, I'll go do this. I've got to study. I haven't been studying. What's wrong with me? But did you learn to love? And I had to keep dying to things that had become precious to me as the Lord brought balance into my life. And balancing is what I'm talking about this morning. And I am still working on it. My husband will hear me surprised to say this, but this morning he came in just to tell me he loved me, and I'm thinking, I'm trying to prepare a message on love. Me right now. I didn't say it. That is funny. But balance. The devotional times of our lives, the times where we dig into God's word, and the times that we're learning to appropriate it. Thy word have I hid in my heart. During those busy times, I've been thankful for the reservoir of the word of God inside of me that I could be meditating on and thinking on, even though I didn't have a book in front of me. But balancing, where we find that right balance, and I'm still working on it, I tell you, to find that right balance where I can have my devotional times, where I can have my study times, but where I'm daily learning to love. With that being said, I would say at this point, my primary goal in life, my primary objective through the years has become very, very simple. After many years of living, after many positions and different titles and even some degrees, but my goal has simply been to learn to love. To love God with all my heart and to love others. The scripture says, as yourself, some of us don't love ourselves very much. Mm-hmm. Needs to be some healing there. There was a point in my life where you wouldn't have wanted me to love you the way I loved me. God's done some working inside of me. But that we love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. And that we learn to love others as ourselves. The scripture tells us that this is the greatest commandment. In Matthew 22, 36 through 40, it says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In Mark 12, 26 through 34, when the lawyer asked about the greatest commandment, because he asked that question, he said, you're not far from the kingdom of God. A pastor shared an experience that he had just recently. We heard it at a place we were fellowshipping in, but he was busy. He had a busy day. And his goal, it was his turn to watch the baby. She looked like she was about 2 years old. And he wanted to quickly feed her so that he was going to take her with him and go do the things he had to do, get done what he had to do that day. As he was trying to quickly feed her, he showed a picture of this cute little girl with yogurt all over her face. The little girl wasn't eating quickly. She just wanted to play. He was going zoom with the spoon and all the things you do to get a baby to eat just wasn't happening. And he started to feel very, very frustrated. And he felt the Holy Spirit say, just enjoy feeding your daughter. She won't always need your help. He said so for 40 minutes. He enjoyed feeding his daughter yogurt. Alan was reading a book recently, and it's Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. And I looked at it, and there was a passage that caught my eye. I have part of the book with me. But what this writer says in practicing the way and learning the way and coming into a close communion and fellowship with God, that it's not so much education or how involved you are in church or all the good things we can do, but it's that we grow in love. And then he asked, do people see the fruit of the Spirit in you? He said, if you want to chart your spiritual progress, test the quality of your closest relationships, the people who know you best. Would they say that you are becoming more loving, that you're becoming more joyful, that you're becoming more at peace? Someone asked me to comment recently. It was a graduate from the school, but they asked me to comment on their strengths and on their weaknesses. And it was so, I just immediately wrote down the strengths that I saw. And really, I didn't see their weaknesses. They had never been displayed in front of me. I mean, we all have weaknesses. But when I looked at the strengths that I saw in them, after I made my little list, I realized it was all the fruit of the Spirit. They were loving. They preferred others. They were patient. They were kind. They were forbearing. These were all things that I had seen in their life through the years. They had gone through a process of allowing the Lord to work in them, and there was the fruit of the Spirit. I didn't realize it, but that's what it was. I looked and I saw the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. But occupy till I come. What does that mean to you? Occupy till I come. For me, it means learning to love. It means the fruit of the Spirit being developed in my life. It means learning to abide in Him, to focus on the Lord and what He's saying and what He's doing. We often hear the news nowadays through CBN, but also through a couple of intercessory prayer networks that we're a part of, because they'll have a piece of news, but then they have a prayer that follows it. Then they have a piece of news, and then they have a prayer that follows it. So you're seeing the news quite differently than when you just hear it on TV. In fact, we don't really have a TV. Some people don't like that when they come to our house. When I had the prayer chapel in Nanjamoy, I put a TV out there because I thought that way we can see the news. Reese House, you know, they would watch the news and pray. But people would walk in the house and flip on the TV. I couldn't hear my worship music anymore, and they're watching all this stuff. So I took the TV out of there, and I thought, we're not even going to have it. Some people use it, I guess, just like background noise. But the news, we have to be informed, we have to know what's going on, but we can hear it from right sources. And if I'm spending more time listening to the news than I am praying about the news, something's not in right balance. So, and if I'm hearing the news from a very tainted side, I'm still not really hearing the news. I'm hearing something that happened, but it's so covered with opinions that it's sometimes hard to find what is the true thing that is going on. But for me, it means learning to love. The fruit is the Spirit being developed in my life, but also learning to abide in Him. I can abide in Him a little bit. I'm not picking on TV today. No TV is in my notes. But I can abide better in Him when I don't have my TV going, when I have my worship music going.
Yeah.
And I can still stay informed. We catch news headlines on our cell phone. And if something really looks pertinent, we open it up and we read it. We can be informed. We can know what's going on without saturating ourselves in a lot of bias and negativity.
Mm-hmm.
And we can have an impact through our prayers. If anyone's interested in the, I can give you the two intercessory prayer organizations that we are joined with, through which we get news, but we also get prayers that go with the news. But I'm learning to abide in Him, focus on God, what He's saying, what He's doing, as I believe for the fullness of His presence to be made manifest in my life, in the life of others, but also in the geographic locations that He has called us to be a part or that He has put on our hearts to pray for. Practicing His presence, abiding in Him, as He is, so are we. That taking place where that testimony comes, it's no longer I, but now it's Christ. That transformation of a people, carriers of His presence, a people who can spark revival, who carry the presence of the Lord and make an impact in the places where they are. We have friends, I don't experience this, but we have friends who go in the grocery store and the next thing you know, they're praying with someone. Then they go somewhere else and like someone has found a whole mission field at Walmart. It's not like they're trying to do anything, it just happens. People start talking to them and so, but wherever God has you, that there be an impact in the atmosphere, that would be carriers of His presence, that others can come, get to know Christ as well. There's a visitation that we have been believing for. In fact, I pulled it out of the cover of my Bible earlier in the service. But it talks about a warfare in this area, in the governmental area of Washington. But it also speaks of being brought here for that very purpose, that there can come a bringing down of the prevailing blockages, an authority that will be exercised as a group as there comes a transformation, a presencing of God in this area, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It says, be faithful in the calling, and speaks again of this area. I've said sometimes that there was three words that I received in 1991, all very close together. That was the first one, and it had to do with that transformation that God wanted to do in this area, the bringing down of the enemy and the establishing of an open heaven. But then there came another word in another location, very close to the same time. It said, think not that it is a little thing that I do, saith the Lord, but it is great. Wait, wait, said the Lord, wait for me because I'm coming with my Shekinah, said the Lord. It is my thing. It is my thing, pure, undefiled, from the throne of God, erecting in this city, and the city against the prince, it shall come down, the heaven shall open, the water shall flow, the visitation shall be pure from the throne of God. Speaking of this geographic area, and it was right after that, one more word came. That's about this area. It's saying, I said it once, I said it twice, I have said it a third time, and now I'm repeating the same. For I will visit you at my own time, and I will show you my glory, and you will marvel at my love towards you. So occupy till I come. There's that which God is doing in our lives. There's a transformation that's taking place. Not the same people we used to be. There's a presencing of God. There's, as we're abiding in Him, and He's a carriers of His presence. But then there's that which is released through our lives. The fruit of the Spirit, but as we're cultivating that receptivity of Spirit, there's a deposit where there's a release. And there comes an authority. Why? We're in right relationship with the blood. We're in right relationship with the cross. Now we carry the authority of His name. And we're not reading the prayer that somebody gave us to read, but there's something that's welling up in us that's of the Holy Spirit, and it's finding expression. Amen. And the Lord is moving because it's His word that's going forth.
Amen.
And it won't return void. There's a people who have paid the price to come to that place of hearing, of obeying, of being sensitive, of being responsive to the Holy Spirit, who God is gathering together, little places here and there. The remnant's getting a little bigger. But there's a people who God is using, a people who have come into this kind of walk in relationship with the Lord, who are gathering together, and God is using them. And there's a visitation, there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're in that season, and we're in that time. And the Lord will move here too. When I think of the Washington, Maryland, Virginia area, the surrounding area, and there's many words about Pennsylvania, and even going up into the New England states.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that has begun, and that will continue. And there's those who are called to be carriers, that God might use them in the releasing of that which He desires to do. May we occupy well. May we be found ready. May Christ be seen in us. May our spirits be open and receptive to the Holy Spirit. May we have hearing ears. May our lamps be trimmed and filled with oil. You know, all 10 had lamps, 5 had oil. May our lamps be trimmed and filled with oil, that we might be found ready, that we might be a part of what God is doing today, however God would call on us, however God would use us, but also to be ready for that day when He calls us home. And I want to say this very, very respectfully. There's some here who knew Bobby Atkins. Precious, precious lady who, I forget how many years I've known her, probably at least 40, 50 years. But in her latter years, she had some dementia. She'd say hello, and then she'd say hello, and then she'd say hello. She was so oozing with love.
Amen.
She had so much joy on her face.
Amen.
She was just going around hugging people and blessing people. And she'd forget, she'd bless you, so she'd bless you again. And then she'd bless you again. When I don't have time to put on my Sunday mask, my Sunday clothes, that's how I want to be.
Yeah. Amen.
Just oozing with love. She couldn't put on a mask anymore. And I know there's times where things happen that are, it's not the soul, it's not the spirit. There's some kind of a chemical imbalance and it needs to be. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about where the presence of God is so inside, when we are just who we are, that we can be like Bobby Atkins.
Yeah,
that's how I want to be, where there's just this love of Jesus inside of me that's oozing out and touching others. No mask needed. Who I've become in Him. But have you learned to love? I'm working on it. And I believe it's the Lord's desire as we see a harvest coming in, that we learn to love, that we'll be able to minister to and connect to those who are following. Just our own times of worship, just our own studies aren't enough. There has to be that part of love. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, I just thank you that you who began a good work, that you will perform it until that day of Jesus Christ. And I just thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your love, for your long-suffering, your gentleness. I thank you for your working in each of our lives. I thank you for the high calling of God, Lord, that you've called us, Lord, into a fellowship with you and to become an expression of you in the earth. And I thank you, Lord, that by your grace we can enter in, and that which you desire can find expression through us. Lord, I just again ask for your blessing on each one who is here today. Each one who has come from different circumstances, different places, different locations. Lord, that we would be refreshed and be encouraged. That we would see your hand working and moving. That we would see needs met. And Father, beyond ourselves, we ask for the regions that we represent. The different geographic areas. Lord, West Virginia, the different places, Lord, that you would move, Lord, that there would come an open heaven, that there would come an outpouring of your Holy Spirit and an ingathering of a people who are searching and looking, who you're drawing in. We just ask, Lord, for places that you would raise up, places marked by your presence. And Lord, we may not have the facilities, we might not have the staff, the people to be a place, but we can pray into places. And Lord, we just ask for this DC area and the surrounding areas again, that you would move sovereignly, that all you have spoken, that all you have said that you would do, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you.